Acts chapter number 3, and we're going to finish up this chapter today. We only read part of it, but this is going to conclude chapter number 3. This I've entitled The Post-Miracle Message. There won't be anything coming up on the screen for you today. Sorry about that. Just have to look at me for the next, hour and a half or so. Just kidding. Post-miracle message. Heavenly Father, please do a mighty work now. And we give you the praise and glory. And I pray that we would agree with the Johnstons, that we would have our life count for you and for you only. In Jesus' name, amen. After healing the lame man, it would have been very easy for the Apostle Peter to have been very impressed with himself. Remember, we learned about the lame man getting healed last week. And I did have a little bit of good feedback from the outdoor environment with the birds chirping and the dogs barking. And I had a few of you actually send me notes about that. Thank you for the encouragement. And you didn't have to, but that was a unique setup. I will tell you this right now. It's kind of funny now that it's over. About a meter behind me where I was recording last week, down in the ground, in the moss, there is a huge anthill. And about halfway through that message, I decided to stop doing. You know how sometimes I back up when I'm preaching? I don't know if you've ever noticed that, especially here, because I really can't go. They've got me hemmed in here, you know. I can't run around like I did over on Armstrong Avenue. So I just keep going back and forth. Well, I did that a few times on that preaching. I must have stepped a little bit too close to the comfort zone of those ants, and they sent out a troop. And I don't know if you saw me, but about halfway through it or so, I kind of reached down and did one of these numbers. Well, it wasn't because I was itchy. It's because I was getting bit by ants. And so I felt like I was in Uganda or Kenya or one of those places. No, I was in my Coquitlam backyard. But anyway, our backyard has been overrun with these anthills under the ground. You can't see them. You can't see them, but they're under there. Today I'm not standing on any anthill, so praise the Lord for that. Last week, though, we learned about how Peter had healed the lame man. We don't know how often the lame man had come or how long it had been that the lame man was coming, but every day somebody had to carry him to the temple. Every day he was hoping to get some coins. Every day he was hoping to get some money to buy food or provide for a family, possibly. I don't know if he had a family, but to live off of. And Peter said, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, give I unto thee. And he healed him, and God healed him through Peter. And of course, Peter used that miracle to give us this message. Some people refer to this as the second message of the church. Quite possibly it could be. We looked obviously at the first one. And it was an opportunity for Peter to preach Jesus Christ. Now remember, Peter was the apostle to the Jews. Paul would be the apostle to the Gentiles. Okay? And so here's a quote to think about for just a moment in the introduction. At the conclusion of this, Peter's second sermon, there are 5,000 men numbered among believers. In addition, there are women and young people. And so under the ministry of Peter, as he preaches the simple gospel message regarding Christ, the church is born and is beginning to grow. And again, we're not going back to re-preach, but we're just saying you can kind of see and follow along here. There is an emphasis here. The emphasis is Jesus. By the way, that shouldn't change in 2020. The emphasis should be Jesus. Look at verse number 6. Verse number 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of who? Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. He uses the word name twice. It's kind of a tongue twister there when you're reading it. You might think you read it wrong, but no, you read it the right way. Whose name is he referring to? He's referring to the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was in his name that Peter healed the lame man. It is in his name, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 9 and 10. If you'll listen, I'll read them, or you can turn there. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. There is no name like the Lord Jesus. There is no name like the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Meaning everything's going to bow to the name of Jesus. My knee bowed to Jesus when I was 9 years old and I accepted him as my personal Savior. Have you bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus? By the way, that's not the only time that a believer bows his or her knee is at their salvation. I believe every day we need to submit every day to the will of God. And we need to bow our knee to the Holy One and say, this is your day. What would you have me do today? Oh, it's far better for us willingly and voluntarily to bow our knee than for him to help us bow our knee. He's helped you bow your knee. He's helped me bow my knee before. Not really the best way. The best way is to do it humbly, and he will exalt us in due time, the scriptures tell us. The audience is there at Solomon's porch. The audience is there having just witnessed someone whom they saw day after day after day, Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath, prayer hour after prayer hour after prayer hour, lame. They just witnessed him running around praising God, giving God the glory. What a sight. There's no better time than right now to present. No better time than right now for Peter to present and proclaim a message pointing everyone to the one who empowered Peter, the Lord Jesus. Let's take a look at several thoughts here by way of an outline. Number one, we see that Peter deflects the praise. Peter deflects the praise. Verse number 12. And when Peter saw it, what did he see? He saw the lame man running around. Verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch. As Peter is watching all of this unfold, the Bible says, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye? Why are ye so surprised? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? Why are you looking at us like we're special? Why are you looking at us like we've got some kind of he doesn't say magical, but you know, an extraordinary power, if you will. And he says that, or holiness, that we made this man to walk. He deflects the praise. You know what? It would have been so easy for Peter to say, yes, you know, yeah, you know, I've been working on that be healed line, you know, for all the... No, Peter said, why are you looking at me? It's not me. And oh, may God help us as God enables us to do anything for him, that we also be people that are diligent to deflect the praise back to the glory of God because he deserves it. And then he says, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, it's the same God, by the way. They're used to this. They recognize this. The God of our fathers, he glorified his son Jesus. You delivered him up. You denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. He deflects the praise. Peter did not have to ask the people to assemble. The people were already there. And he begins by asking them those questions. Why are you so surprised? Why are you looking at us this way? Letter A. Peter makes it very clear that it is, letter A, not Peter's power. It is not Peter's power. The Holy Spirit had empowered the disciples back in chapter number 2. Do you remember that? Oh, what a powerful time. What a miraculous time when the Holy Spirit of God, like a mighty rushing wind, came in. He was working in and through Peter and the other disciples. I don't see here in this text that the disciples made any claim to the power of themselves. No, it was all about the Lord. Turn over to Luke chapter number 9. Luke's Gospel chapter number 9. Hold your place in Acts, who we believe to be the penman as well, by the way. Luke chapter number 9. Peter makes it very clear that God glorified his son, Jesus Christ, and it was his power. It was in his miraculous power that this miracle was performed. Look at Luke 9 and 37, please, for just a moment. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. Behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only son. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, and that he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, The devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. We'll stop right there. They were all amazed at the mighty power of God. It is in this same power that Peter said, why are you looking at me like I've got some kind of power? Why are you looking at John like he's got some kind of power? Don't look at us that way. Look at us, but then look at Jesus, because it is through the mighty power of God. It is the glorification of His Son, Jesus Christ, that we have this power, that we can do these miracles. It is only through the power of God. It was letter A, not by Peter's power. He deflects the praise. I'm thankful that God, through His Spirit today, while we don't go around in the same fashion as Peter in the sense of saying to the lame man, rise up and walk, that we can pray over the sick and we can pray over those that have great needs and we can seek the power of God to be done in their life. Do you believe your God still heals? Do you believe God still provides in miraculous ways? Do you believe God still does the unbelievable? Yes, my God is still big and strong and mighty, and there's nothing that our God cannot do. But be careful that we don't, when God does things in and through us, that we start to begin to think it is of us. No, church, it is never of us. Those 66,000 tracts are by the grace of God that all that money has come in. And it's all come in. It hasn't come out of the budget, not one penny of it. It has all come in, but it's not to our glory. Don't look at Anchor Baptist Church. Look at our God who's provided it. Look at our God who's for 19 and a half years allowed us to continue to preach the message of the gospel, that when everything came to a screeching halt in March, middle of March, we were able to somehow pull things together. But by the grace of God, by the knowledge of God giving us, the equipment that God has given us, that we can continue to preach that God is good and He's doing great and mighty things here in our midst. It is only of God's grace that our missionaries can raise up buildings and raise up places all over the world and see people saved even in the middle of 2020. And I love getting their letters and I love reading what God is doing. It's not because of the missionary. It's not because of the sending church. It's because of the power of God. And Peter deflects the praise and he says, look, folks, it's not by my power. Look at there in verse number 12. He says, why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power? It's not an abracadabra. No, it's by the power of God. We need that power today. We cannot buy that power like Simon, another man, not Simon Peter, but another man by the name of Simon who said, oh, I got some money. Can I have some of that? I'd like to do some of that. It's not the power of God. Well, the power of God is available to humble servants. I'm not saying I'm humble like I need to be. I need more humility. Peter said, it's not by my power. He deflects the praise, letter B. He also says it's not Peter's holiness. It's not Peter's holiness. Look at verse number 12. As though by our own power or holiness. If you could turn to chapter 10. Sorry, lost my place in my notes. Acts 10. See, Peter had every opportunity right here to exercise power over the people. You know what I mean by that? None of us understand what it's like to heal somebody like a lame man. But he had him right here. Because he just healed a guy. And they witnessed it. He had every opportunity to make it about Peter. Look at Acts chapter number 10, verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and what? Worshipped him. Worshipped who? Peter. Whoa, hold the phone, Peter says. Hold the phone. Peter took him up. Hey, come on, come on, come on, get up. Stand up. Verse 26. I myself also am a what? I'm a man. I'm a man. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Oh, there's so much about Peter that a lot of times gets picked on. You know, he denied the Lord three times, and he's going to talk about that actually in the next text. But you know what? I love how Peter, in these two instances, he had the opportunity. He had the opportunity to just soak it in. You know, and I don't know. Maybe this is just for the pastor and maybe the assistant pastor or others. I don't know who this is for, but we have to be careful that as people give us And you should honor, and I say this as carefully as I can, but you should honor the pastor. You should honor the assistant pastor. You should honor the leaders of in the church of the Lord. But I'm just saying that I like Peter's humility, that he's saying, look, it's not our power. It's not our holiness. This is of the Lord. And Cornelius, hey, get up. I'm just like you. And we've tried to convey that in a very transparent way for over 19 years. And I hope to be able to do that all my life, that God gives me ministry is, look, you know, yes, I have been called to be the pastor of Anchor Baptist Church, but I'm a man. I'm a sinner saved by grace. It's not by my power. It's not by my holiness. It's not by your power. It's not by your holiness. When people give us any kind of compliment or any kind of accolade, may we return that and say, praise the Lord, it's all for the glory of God. Peter deflects the praise at every opportunity. I love what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. He said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Can you say that with me today? My sufficiency is of God. Oh, I hope you can say that. Our sufficiency is of God. Verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter of the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Number one, Peter deflects the praise. Number two, Peter denounces unbelief. Look at verse 14. But ye. And so now, he's turning it to the people. But ye denied the Holy One and the just. Not only did you deny a Holy One, you desired a murderer. I mean, you denied someone who was sinless and you desired someone who was a criminal. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. We've seen him. Letter A, Peter denounces unbelief. Letter A, they denied Jesus. They denied Jesus. Notice that statement. Ye denied the Holy One and the just. The term Holy One is used more than 40 times in the Old Testament as a high and glorious title for Yahweh, who is the covenant God of Israel. So he is speaking to a group of religious people who recognize that title, Holy One. You denied your covenant God. You denied the Lord Jesus. Now the problem is this. They did not recognize Jesus to be the Messiah. He said, you denied the light. You denied, what did he say in verse? The Prince of Life. They denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But then letter B, they desired a murderer. So they really struck out here. Only two strikes in this one and you're out. They denied the Prince of Life. They denied the Holy One of Israel. And they said, no, we'll take a murderer. We read this, by the way, we read about this in Matthew 27. If you'd like to turn over there quickly, Matthew chapter 27, Matthew's Gospel. By the way, let's not jump too hard on these folks who deny Jesus, because we can be a follower of Jesus Christ and we can have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we are also prone to deny Him as well. So let's not jump too hard on these religious people. Let's look in the mirror today and see what God has for us. Look at verse 20 of Matthew 27. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. In another portion of Scripture, it says, now Barabbas was a robber. Now Barabbas was a robber. Criminal. Peter says, hey guys, you denied the Holy One. You denied the just one. You denied the Prince of Life. And you desired someone who was a robber. You desired someone who was a thief. You desired someone who was a murderer. Ask yourself this question. Do you find yourself, and I wrote it this way, do we find ourselves denying the Lord Jesus Christ? We ought to seek His help in denying self. I love what it says in Luke 9 and 23. And He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself. Church, we need a revival of self-denial. We need a revival of self-denial. And that's exactly what those 30 days that we were working through and on. And I hope to get something out to you, by the way, in an anonymous way. I'd like to get some feedback on that. But that 30 days of prayer and fasting, I had a few of you have communicated with me, and I appreciate that, different things about it. But I'd like to see a little bit more from you about that, and we'll work on that maybe in the next couple of weeks. But the point is, that's exactly what it is. When you're fasting, you're denying self. That's part of it. And you're saying, I need God more than I need food. And again, I'm not preaching about fasting today, but that's the first thing that came to mind because it is a pretty high level. In many cases, it's a very high level of denying self. And I'm not talking about giving up an ice cream cone. I'm talking about giving up food for 24 hours and more or more or more or more. We think it's a sacrifice. And yes, the body will let you know after a while it is a sacrifice. The body will begin to say, hello, you forgot something. Every day you've been giving me something. I need it more. And again, I'm just saying that the world is vying for my attention. The world is vying for my worship. The world is vying for my allegiance. Oh, but I need to deny this myself, and then deny the world, and then deny the enemy. And He's working in all of those things so that I might follow Him. Jesus said, "You need to deny self before you can take up cross." How can I take up my cross if I'm not denying myself? It's impossible. He said, "You must deny yourself." Peter said, "You've denied Jesus, and you desired a murderer." Then, lastly, look at verse 17 as we go back to our text. Peter deflects the praise. He denounces the unbelief. But then now he brings it all to the gospel. Number three, Peter declares the gospel. This is what it's all about. Pointing to the gospel. That's what it should always be about. Pointing to the gospel. Look at verse 17. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all His prophets, we're going to look at that here, that Christ should suffer, He hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. All right, let's take a look at this. Number three, Peter declares the gospel. First off, letter A, he declares the gospel that was told by the prophets. I love what he says there in verse number 17. He said, or in verse number 18. He said, God has already given you this by the prophets. And how did you miss it? How can you be so ignorant? I mean, look, that's what he said in verse 17. You killed the Holy One, but how could you be so ignorant? All right, let's take a look at it. Go back to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah, I believe this is possibly one of the places that he's talking about. Look at Isaiah chapter 50. And verse number 6. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Of course, Isaiah 53. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Verse 4, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. They read these verses. They had this. And Peter is saying that God has already showed you by the mouth of the prophets that this Christ was going to suffer. Look, if you will, ahead. We didn't read these verses, but look at verse 22 of the same chapter back in Acts. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Jesus Christ was a Jew. Like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Verse 24. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. This isn't something new. This isn't something that hasn't been spoken of in your past. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. From Moses to John the Baptist, they are told of the coming Messiah. This was not a new revelation. All throughout Scripture, God is continuously revealing himself unto us. They murdered the Lord Jesus, not believing that he was the Messiah. And yet over and over again in their Old Testament, he was foretold. His birthplace was foretold. He fulfilled that. His way of his stripes, his beard being plucked out, his being spat upon. We just read those. All of it foretold. All of it came true. The Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter said, and we saw him alive. We are witnesses of that. It wasn't just Peter and the small group of disciples. There were over 500 people that would see him alive. Peter is taking this miracle that God did through him to use as a platform, not to bring praise to Peter and John, but to bring praise to God who glorified his son, Jesus Christ. He is bringing this as an opportunity now to declare the message of the gospel to these people. Letter B. Not only was it told by the prophets, but the gospel, letter B, is the only way to be born again. Look at verse number 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted. How can they repent? Why do they have the opportunity to repent now and be converted? Because of the end of verse 18. That Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. He fulfilled those prophets' words, verse 18. He fulfilled the prophets' writings. He fulfilled the prophets' prophesying in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. He fulfilled it all. Now you have an opportunity to repent. Now you have an opportunity to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. What they needed was a change of mind at who Jesus was. All week long, we've been telling the children every night, most every night, we've been looking at a graphic, a little PowerPoint that talks about becoming a child of God is as simple as A, B, C. The letter B represents believe who Jesus is, and what Jesus did. Believe who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. Go with me, if you will, to the Gospel according to John. John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. We don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God in three persons, if you will. Okay? One God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Notice what it says in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I believe that is referring to, that Word is referring to the Lord Jesus. And was with God, and the same was in the beginning, and was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The life was the light of men. Go down to verse number 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. This is exactly what Peter's talking about in Acts 3. You rejected, remember? You rejected the Holy One for a robber, for a murderer. This is exactly what John is writing about. Isn't it amazing how the Bible works together? That's why it's so powerful. It does not contradict itself. It works together. So here's John saying, before Jesus even is crucified, here's John saying he was rejected of his own. He came into his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Notice verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. Jesus is the Word here. Was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus became man, born of the Virgin Mary. Luke 2, read all about it. He became a man, born of the Virgin Mary, without ceasing to become God, without ceasing to still be God. He's the Son of God. And John, or excuse me, as we go back to Acts now, and Peter is saying that you have the opportunity to be born again if you are willing to repent, if you are willing to change your mind about Jesus. He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a prophet. He's the Son of God. He's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He is the sacrificial Lamb. Without his shed blood, without his death, without his burial, without his resurrection, you and I have no hope. Peter said, because he fulfilled those prophecies, he suffered, he fulfilled it all, he rose again, you can repent and be converted. Why? Because you've got sin. You see what... forgot I can't go back as far. You see what he says there? That your sins be blotted out. Hey folks, you've got sin that needs to be blotted out. I've got sin that needs to be blotted out. Everybody's got sins that need to be blotted out. What does that mean? Sins may be blotted out. It's taken from the phrase is taken from the practice of creditors charging their debtors. And when the debt is paid, canceling it or wholly removing the record. It's as if you never owed a debt at all. Not only is it canceled, not only is it paid in full, but it's not scanned and saved on a hard drive. It's put in the paper shredder and it's gone. It's as if you never owed a debt. Folks, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and did for me the day that you got saved. He came in and washed you and made you whole, and he blotted out your sin as if you have never been a sinner. That's justification. That can only happen through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that it can be blotted out. You can't blot it out by getting baptized. You can't blot it out by just simply repeating a prayer. You've got to claim the gift that Jesus Christ has given for you and put your faith and trust in him, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, and he's paid the penalty for you. Not only did it have the idea of it being like a creditor, but also... this has the idea, the sins may be blotted out, has the idea of wiping ink off of a document. Again, when you read the Bible, remember to read it and think about it in the Bible times. You know, we're thinking 2020 when we read the Bible. Well, this wasn't written in 2020. I think you know that. Okay, so you got to look back, and this is where Bible study comes in, and I've got to do more of it, and you've got to do more of it. This has the idea of wiping ink off of a document. Ink in the ancient world had no acid content and didn't bite into the paper. It'd be kind of hard to wipe this ink off of this paper, even if it were handwritten. This is not handwritten, but it would be hard to do that. It could almost be wiped off with a damp cloth. Peter said that God would wipe away our record of sin just like that. Only he wouldn't do it with water. He would do it with the precious blood of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Peter said, you can have your sins blotted out, he said, you can have them wiped off your record, just like some ink could be wiped off a piece of paper. And then I like that phrase, times of refreshing. Speaking of refreshing, I needed a break to get a little bit of liquid. I'm getting a little overheated. Times of refreshing. Here's what I wrote down. Salvation has benefits now as well as for all eternity. You know, it's refreshing to know that Jesus Christ is King. It's refreshing to know that God is still on His throne. It's refreshing to know that even though things are a bit awry right now, God's in control. It's refreshing. I'll have to admit, it can become very overwhelming. And I have been overwhelmed. I've been overwhelmed many times in 2020. And I've got to come back to a point of reference. What is the point of reference? God is sovereign. I've got to come back to a point of reference. What's the point of reference? I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I've got to come back to a point of reference. What is the point of reference? God's word is powerful. And whatever the point of reference is, I've got to come back to it. You know, I love the song, In the Sweet By and By, but you know what? I'm also promised joy unspeakable and full of glory right now. When the times of refreshing shall come, notice that, from the presence of the Lord. You know, you can experience the presence of the Lord every day. I can experience the presence of the Lord every day. You get up in the morning and you get to your Bible. Oh, I hope that maybe your routine, I hope, and I don't mean to say routine in a ritualistic way, but I hope your routine involves the Word of God as early as possible. We see that throughout the Scripture. But wherever it is, have time in the Word of God. Why? Because it's refreshing. The day in which we live is very, it takes away the refreshing. Dry. The dry day. If we're not careful. But this is refreshing. This is life-changing. You know, we were talking between Sunday school and church that you could read something and preach something over and over again, but it's still got light. It's still got bread. It's still fresh. I like what he said there. In the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You know, it may be a prophetical statement, but I also believe it's something that we can hold to today. So, in the midst of this sermon, after just having healed the lame man, Peter had every opportunity for people to look at him and take everything on. And Peter, number one, deflected the praise. Why don't you look at your life today and examine all of the miracles that God has done in your life? You know why we need to do that? Because then we have the opportunity to then say, God, thank you. I praise you for the church. I praise you for your word. I praise you for eternal life. I praise you for my family. I praise you for this. I praise you for the family of God. Number two, he denounces unbelief. He said, you guys got it all wrong. You wanted a murderer and you killed the Holy One. But he says, you know what? I'm still going to give you the gospel. And he declares the gospel. He said, you can repent right now. Isn't that great? The mercy of God. You can change your mind. It's the same thing Jonah, and I know I'm going back to Jonah again, but it's obviously been on my brain all week, and prior to that even. The people of Nineveh repented. That's what the Bible says. These were some of the most ruthless, terrorizing people. And the Bible says they repented. Peter is saying, you killed Jesus, but you can still repent. Think of that. You let a murderer go, and you killed the Holy One. But you can repent and have your sins blotted out. Folks, there's nobody online right now listening that has a record any greater than these ones that Peter was preaching to on this day in the book of Acts 3. And the same message is for you, and the same message is for me, and the same message is for every lost person. You can repent, you can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today, and have your sins wiped away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you have the hope of eternal life. And then you have